Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura.
And I'm Marty.
Excellent. And Marty and I are both kind of having kind of one of those days. And so we thought, what better way to distract us from our days than to discuss dog vomit?
Are we talking about the process or the end product?
You know, all of it. You know, we talked about diarrhea and having bad potty last week. So it seemed like the natural extension to discuss what comes out the other end of your pet this week.
Right. Because they are related.
Are they always related? That's a good question. Okay.
No, they're not. So let's start with that. I think that's a good question.
Yeah.
So the dog is vomiting, but they're not having stool. Then my biggest concern with that is a foreign body, something that the dog ate that is stuck in their intestinal tract, a corn cob, a pair of underwear, a sock, a dish towel, a rock, you know, anything that a dog can swallow. And I was told this by one of my clients a couple of years ago, and this was something I didn't know, is that dogs can swallow big things that will not pass through their intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. So they can swallow something big like a rock, and it gets through the stomach, pops out the other side, gets into the intestines, and it gets caught. Mm-hmm. Children, on the other hand, are the other way around.
Oh, interesting.
And I didn't know that. I mean, I've known about foreign bodies in dogs for 45 years because this is what I've done. But I had a client that came in with a dog that had eaten something, and she's a pediatric surgeon. And she said that if a kid gets something stuck in their esophagus and you can push it down into their stomach, it'll pass through the intestinal tract. So dogs can swallow things too big to pass through the intestines. Children, if they can get it out of their esophagus and into their stomach, it will pass through the intestine. I'm like, huh, I don't get that. And she said, yeah, at least once a day. She worked at a very busy medical clinic where there were children. She said at least once a day she would get called to the emergency room to push something out of the kid's esophagus, and then it would just pop out the other end. I'm like, well, that is a remarkable piece of information that I never knew. So that kind of helps to frame it. Like if a kid gets a penny stuck in their esophagus and you push it into their stomach, it'll poop out. But dogs are not. Children are not dogs, in spite of the fact that a lot of people confuse that.
Yes, it can be a confusion. I had a dog I showed a number of years ago. It was a Clumber Spaniel, and he ate his first, and I say first advisedly because it was the first of eight blockage surgeries the dog had, his first rock at my house. And yes, he swallowed it, but that was all the further it was going to go. It was like...
Right. And dogs don't learn from this experience.
No, they do not.
Obviously, the humans that he lived with didn't either. Because if you didn't know, the first one goes down, it's not your fault. But after that, when we have dogs that come in as repeat offenders, you just want to look at the client and say, okay, like, let's pick up the underwear. Let's pick up the socks. Let's
put a lock on the garbage can. Yeah. Is there such a thing? I have not encountered this, but I've kind of distantly heard it somewhere. Like horses have grazing muzzles, right? For horses that will overeat and colic or do bad things. Are there things that we do for our dogs that are kleptocrat? No, what am I trying to say? Yeah. Like they pick things up and put them in their mouths and swallow them even though they shouldn't.
Yeah. And people historically have used muzzles, but that's a bad idea because the dog can't pant, the dog can't vomit if they have to. So none of those things are really safe. We were taught in veterinary school, you never walk away from a dog with a muzzle on.
Right.
Never, ever, or you will not pass out of your senior year into the real world. You will sort of be left behind as a veterinary student.
Right.
So we never do that. But now there's a product called Outfoxed, and it's a hood. It's made for dogs to wear. It comes in a number of different sizes. And it's really meant to keep foxtails out of the dog's nostrils when they're out in the field running. So it's called Outfoxed for that reason. However, it is a brilliant way to keep dogs from eating things out in the yard. or walking around your house, because they can breathe, they can pant, they can do all these other things, and they can't get it into their mouth, and they can't eat when they're wearing it, so they can't pick up the rock or the sock or the walnut or the apple or the corn cob or the one of 8 gajillion things that dogs eat.
Entire
so towel. I think yeah so I think that's important. Now, if you suspect your dog has eaten something inappropriate before you end up with a foreign body surgery and $10,000 of surgery, then there are two things you should do. One is, if it's something relatively large or toxic, you should have a way to make the dog vomit. Now, I recommend that you call poison control. I do not recommend that you use hydrogen peroxide because it's pretty wicked. I've had some very bad experiences in my patients with it. But there's a product called Clevor, C-L-E-V-O-R. Comes in a little foil package. It's little eye drops, and you can put that in your dog's eye. So if you know you have a dog that's a repeat offender for this, you just talk to your veterinarian and say, look, I don't want to end up at the emergency clinic at 2 a.m. with apomorphine. I don't want to end up here with the foreign body surgery. Would you be able to send Clevor with me? And as long as it's safe for the dog to vomit.
And it's a prescription, right?
It's a prescription item. Yeah. So your vet would have to prescribe it. And I'm not going to say all veterinarians are willing to do it. But if I had a repeat offender with a dog with that kind of a history, it'd be like, out the door, man. You need to have this. The other thing you can do, if it's something smaller and you need the dog to pass it, and it might be dangerous, like broken glass that had bacon grease in it, or a black pen that they chewed up the little sharp pieces, or the razor blade, or the whatever thing dogs eat that are small enough to pass through the intestines, I feed canned spinach, and it works beautifully. Now, I used to work for a veterinarian that would feed cotton. I've seen bread. I've seen other things used. But I'll tell you, canned spinach is a game changer. And I have used it for 45 years. And it has been wildly successful if it's something small. Now, it's a big towel. Spinach isn't going to make it come out.
Right.
But if it's those smaller things, I had one dog that came in a number of years ago and had been in her owner's machine shop, and he had metal shavings on the floor. And she had apparently been nauseous. It was snowing outside. It was blizzarding. It was really bad. So she didn't get to go outside. And she licked the floor of the machine shop, and he brought her in. During this blizzard, we x-rayed her, and there must have been 200 shards of metal in this dog's intestines. And I went, oh, yeah, this is not going to go well. And there's no way you could possibly remove those surgically. So we stuffed her full of spinach, and she passed every single one. Kept her off my surgery table, kept her from dying.
I will tell you, it is because of you that there are two cans of canned spinach in my cupboard, because it's sure the heck not for me, man.
That's okay. You don't have to eat it. You just feed it to the dog. So you can mix it with chicken. You can mix it with ground beef. You can mix it with things. Or in cases that you have a dog that won't eat it, I have been known to squeeze out the liquid and shove it down the dog in little balls. I've done an entire can down a dog, so it works. My son was married to a young lady who, her parents' dog got into the bathroom one morning, long story of how it happened, and got one of those plastic disposable razors. The dog was supposed to be locked out of the upstairs, and it wasn't that day, and the razor got knocked on the floor, and all this stuff happened, and so the dog ate it. So they brought the dog in. I fed him spinach and then made him vomit so that we wouldn't have to have it going through, and it worked beautifully. So these things
even
can,
in
can
the
be
vomit
done.
So that's a new one you haven't said before. So you can feed the spinach to the dog and then have, and how much time between feeding it and vomiting it back up?
10 minutes.
Really? And in that amount that, of that time, it'll wrap around the grossness?
Yeah. And that way it kept the little sharp pieces of the plastic and the metal from the blade from damaging the dog's GI tract. So brought it up, dog did great. So there's some nuances to this. You just kind of have to figure it out. I've seen dogs eat popsicle sticks. I mean, if it's small enough to go down the dog, at some point, some dog has eaten it. I remember one night watching one of the late night shows, David Letterman or one of them, and a dog had swallowed a knife. And they'd taken the dog to the emergency clinic because the dog wouldn't turn its head. So they went in and they took an x-ray, and there was a knife in the dog's esophagus, handle first. It didn't go into the stomach. It was in the esophagus. So they were able to scope the dog and bring it back out. So dogs will eat really stupid things.
Stupid.
So it's our job to protect them. So first and foremost, everybody's biggest concern, whether it's an owner or a veterinarian, is this dog vomiting because it's a foreign body? And that's a real concern because it's very serious. And if things get stuck in the intestinal tract, these dogs can have bowel obstructions that can end up to be fatal or so expensive that the owner ends up euthanizing because it's fatal. Eight surgeries for one dog is a lot of damage to the intestine.
Yeah.
So it was, that's for
the final one. And I don't think it even killed him, but the last surgery was for, he got into the garbage, an entire turkey roasting oven bag. Mm-hmm. Like the whole bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's truly remarkable. We had a dog that came in when the internet was pretty young and the dog was vomiting. And we took the dog to surgery because we knew there was a foreign body in there. And I took this plastic thing out. It was this flat, oval plastic thing that was yellow and it had these spiky things. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. Well, the internet was young, but not so young that I couldn't Google. So I Googled the patent number on the item and it was that plastic thing that holds chicken legs and turkey legs together in the deli after they're cooked so that they don't go weep in the bag on your way home. So the dog had eaten it because, you know what? It tasted like chicken. So you have to think about
child-proofing is dog-proofing. Dog-proofing is important. And garbage cans are a deadly hazard. So,
yeah, and there's just a lot of really terrible things that can happen. So, you know, before you bring home that new puppy, you get down on the floor and you crawl around and look at the world from the perspective of a puppy and you pick up all the stuff that's on your floor. I remember one time listening to a dog trainer and she said, when you bring home a new puppy, you want your apartment to look like Felix's apartment, not Oscar's apartment. So for those of you who are old enough to remember The Odd Couple, that's a reference.
So on
that,
point. So on yeah, point.
But it's probably not going to ring true to people who are really too young to remember
right.
that show.
That's okay. It's okay. Google,
you don't know,
guys,
the show.
Google is your friend.
Google, yeah, Google it and watch an episode because it's hysterically funny.
It is funny. Okay, so vomiting due to foreign body, check. Other reasons that my dog may be hurling its guts all across my living room.
Dog could have eaten something toxic. A dog could have a metabolic disease like kidney disease or diabetes. Dog could have just eaten something that didn't agree with them. You know, they go out and they eat disgusting stuff and it may not be enough to cause a foreign body, but it may be enough to make the dog ill. I've had people come in and say, really, that would make the dog vomit? I'm like, well, it would make me vomit if I ate it. And they go, oh yeah, yeah, probably. So you kind of have to, like, I don't want to anthropomorphize dogs, but there are certain things that dogs will eat and then they go, you know, my belly says that was a bad idea. Food poisoning.
The things don't make them vomit is the thing that bothers me.
Well, that's really true. But like food poisoning, people will eat bad food and then they get sick. They get food poisoning. Mm. Well, what makes you think that your dog can't get food poisoning or your cat can't get food poisoning? So, you know, you don't clean out the refrigerator by feeding it all to the dog or dumping it in the trash and then letting the dog get into it. And dogs have no judgment when it comes to this stuff. Your dog will not learn. Just because it had surgery for eating one rock does not mean the dog is going to learn not to eat another rock or whatever it happened to be. So this is our job as human beings, to not let the dog eat the junk out of the refrigerator that you didn't find good enough for yourself to eat. So I think those are pretty important things. Metabolic disease is very common, especially as the dogs are older. Parvovirus, that can cause a dog to vomit, a very young dog to vomit, coronavirus, parvovirus, those kinds of things. So there's just a jillion things. And the other thing is every single drug on the market, every single veterinary drug on the market, if it's labeled for dogs, will have as a side effect vomiting and diarrhea. It doesn't matter if it's the topical stuff you put on your dog's shoulders to protect them from fleas and ticks. It has a side effect listed on the label of vomiting and diarrhea. And why is that? Because dogs don't mind vomiting. Like, I am not
I would
one of
rather
those people
die.
That says,
I would rather
I'll feel
die.
Better. Yeah, me too. There's no,
rather
none
die.
Of that. But dogs are like, ah, no big deal. I don't have to clean it up and then I'm going to feel better and it's all good. So just realize that every single product on the market will do that. So even if you give something like heartworm preventive or flea and tick preventive to your dog and they vomit, you have to redose it. It's unlikely the dog absorbed it very well. And that's just a really common side effect of every drug. So here's the problem is that if your dog is in a clinical study for a 3-month period of time with any of these drugs, and at any point, if your dog vomited or had diarrhea, it has to be listed as a side effect on the label, even if it's not a cause and effect.
Got it. Okay.
Every single.
That's a good thing to know.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
I would like to speak to a relatively common reason for dogs to vomit by telling you a story, because I promised
there's
always a story. So when I was very young, I was probably 12, we had just gotten my first purebred dog. She was an English setter and her name was Edsel, and we were going camping.
What a great name for a dog.
Well, her registered name was Edwardian Secret Love. And my father named her because she reminded him of the Edsel, the ugliest car known to man.
Oh, boy. That must have been lovely.
No, there's so much to goes with that. But anyway, so we're in the giant suburban, all the kids and all the dogs and all the camping equipment. We're driving and we're just about to turn to go to the big road out to the mountains. And I said, Mom, Edsel's going to puke. And my mom says, well, catch it. I'm like, I don't have anything to catch it with. Because she's loose in the car, because this was before we knew enough to put our dogs in crates. We hadn't learned that.
They didn't even make crates then. Are you kidding?
Well, they probably did, but we didn't have any. And so I said, what should I catch it with? And my mother said, your hands. And of course I did. So as mom's pulling into the gas station, I'm catching double-fisted handfuls of car-sick dog vomit, and simultaneously, personally, also losing my lunch because, as we discussed, I don't have a very good stomach.
So this may have some relationship with why you don't tolerate this well. This is
actually a cause and effect. I don't do vomit. I don't do it myself. I don't do it in other. Nope. Yeah. I'm peaced out. Scarred for life at 12. There you go.
So car sickness can certainly make a dog vomit. There are just so many reasons that dogs can vomit. The good news is we have a really good drug on the market that does a great job of controlling vomiting, almost irregardless of the reason. And it's called Serenia or Meropotent. It's a great drug. It comes as an injectable and it comes as a tablet, because obviously tablets only work if they stay down. So an injectable product works really well. And when Zoetis first brought this product to market, their whole ad campaign was called Ralph, and they had a little green dog that was the advertisement dog. So you could get it at a low dose for other reasons for vomiting, and that was a higher dose for car sickness. So it does a really great job of managing those, but it was such a funny ad campaign. I can't even tell you how many times I thought that was just brilliant marketing.
Well, it is good marketing, and I have to say that's the first time I've ever heard you refer to vomit as anything other than vomit. So there you go. Ralphing. Ralphing is acceptable out there, y'all.
So if you call him Ralph, then it's okay. So 82% of the dogs after one dose of Serenia will not vomit again. So it's a really good drug. And if they continue to vomit, they've got something like a foreign body or pancreatitis, something really serious. So if one dose of Serenia doesn't control their vomiting, you need to be really serious about seeing the veterinarian. And it is such a good drug, and it makes dogs and cats feel so much better that in our practice and a lot of practices, every single surgical patient gets a dose of it. So when they go home from a dental cleaning, they go home from a spay, it doesn't have to be an abdominal surgery. Just having a dental cleaning, they don't feel good when they go home. You give them IV fluids, you give them this Serenia, and they go out the door like, do-do-do-do-do, like, I'm good. And, you know, the guy I learned it from was the anesthesia director at the University of Wisconsin, and he said that he started using it, and on their dog's second dental cleaning, he gave it because he didn't think about using it when it first came to market. And his wife was so impressed that when the dog came home the second time from her dental, she's like, this is way better. Yeah, makes that much of a difference. So It's a little bit of an expensive drug. It has recently come to market as a generic.
Also as a prescription, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But if your veterinarian gives you the option, and even if they don't, say you're in for a spay or a neuter or a dental or a lump removal or whatever, you can say to your veterinary clinic, would you please be willing to give a dose of Serenia to my patient so that when I come home with the dog tonight, the dog is not nauseous, feels good. Now, we don't recommend that you feed a full meal after an anesthetic procedure, but a little snibble of food before they go to bed is going to make them feel better, sleep better, and it's not contraindicated. In fact, when we do our surgery on young puppies, I immediately, the minute they have their head up, I have a bowl of food in front of them. So I'm not afraid to feed immediately after surgery. I know a lot of veterinarians are because that's what they taught in veterinary school. But those puppies wake up, they're unhappy, they've been fasting, they're not pleased. We feed them food. And they get a little Serenia and they fall right back to sleep. And then when they wake up the second time, they're good. So it is amazing how much better this drug makes them feel. So please don't hesitate. You've already spent enough money to do the spay or the neuter or the whatever. Spend a little extra. Just ask your veterinary clinic, will you please give a dose of this? And they feel remarkably better. So, you know, do the things you can do. Do the right thing for your dog. Be the guy.
Well, yeah, that's your job. So Serenia for car trips. Is that something that your vet can prescribe? Like, hey, I'm going on summer vacation and Fido over here is always car sick. Can you prescribe me a week's worth of these pills? And will your vet do that? Is that a thing?
Most of the time, yes. Okay. When we dose it normally, it's 2 milligrams per kilogram. When we do it for car sickness, it's 8 milligrams per kilogram. So it's times the dose because it takes a lot for these guys. And there's other things you can do for car sickness. You can put them in a crate and cover it so they can't see out the side window because that movement from the side can really distract them. You can get them really good at riding in the car by practicing. Yeah. I feed ginger snaps to a lot of dogs. That's what we use in our veterinary practice because a lot of clients used to say to us, oh, please don't feed him that. He's going to get car sick on the way home. Well, now they let us feed ginger snaps because ginger settles the stomach. And I think we probably sell a lot of ginger snaps at the dollar store in Lamira just because like everybody goes there and buys them. And I'm like, they're gone. Well, yeah, somebody came in and bought the last 4 bags because now all of my clients regularly feed ginger snaps to their dogs. And if you have one of those dogs that has what's called reflux gastritis, that's when they maybe eat 5 o'clock in the evening, you go to bed, they don't have anything at bedtime. They get up in the morning, they go outside, they vomit up bile, and they won't eat their breakfast because they're nauseous. If you feed a couple ginger snaps at bedtime, they're going to wake up in the morning. You feed them another ginger snap in the morning, they go out, they go potty, they come in, they have breakfast. They're good. So, I mean, it's a really good way without a drug to manage your dog's nausea. So a lot of dogs have this reflux gastritis. They vomit because they're hungry, and they vomit bile because they're hungry. You know, you can do this stuff yourself, man. It's a ginger
snap. That's a good one. A ginger snap a day keeps the doctor away.
Why not?
I love it.
Like,
okay. So,
I've learned a few things over the course of my life.
Well, and you are always kind enough to share them with us, and we appreciate it so much.
Well, it's just fun.
Yes. Foreign bodies, intestinal disorders, car sickness. Talk us through kind of like your worst case scenario. So if I've got vomiting and diarrhea and lethargy, I'm in a world of hurt. But if I don't have those, what?
Well, as we talked about on the diarrhea show, diarrhea by itself is concerning, but it's generally not life-threatening unless it's hemorrhagic gastroenteritis. However, if your dog starts with vomiting and ends up with diarrhea, I worry a little. If your dog starts with vomiting and doesn't pass any stool at all, I worry a lot about a foreign body. If your dog starts with diarrhea and it progresses to vomiting, it's probably not a foreign body. So that kind of helps me to understand the timeline. So when I ask those questions of a client and they look at me like, what? Does it matter? It matters a lot because if their diarrhea precedes their vomiting, it's probably their vomiting because their diarrhea has just gotten so bad, their whole GI tract is a mess. So those are things that kind of help you. Is that what you're asking is how do you kind of stage this? Is how serious is this? And do I need to go in on a
Exactly. And we talked about things that are serious in and of themselves. Foreign bodies can be fatal. Obviously, parvovirus, we mentioned that in terms of vomiting and diarrhea. Anything else that you want to add? Pancreatitis? Anything else you want to add to that? Yeah. List of kind of things to think about.
Yeah, it's a nasty disease. It's usually in female dogs that are a little bit middle-aged and overweight that ate a high-fat meal, and that's often the initiation for it. There is an in-house blood test and a send-out blood test that can help diagnose it. The tests aren't great, but it's better than nothing. And these dogs are really sick, and they can die from pancreatitis. It's a pretty nasty disease. Fortunately, we can treat it most of the time with hospitalization, IV fluids. There's a new drug that came to market a couple of years ago called Panquelli that does a great job of helping these dogs. So there are definitely things we can do. But yeah, pancreatitis is another real bugger that we've got to be like super careful with, because those dogs have to be hospitalized and on fluids for several days before we reintroduce food. So it's a bad one.
That's messy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you can think of in your list of things to, my dog is vomiting, what should I check off the list in terms of other potential issues?
I think many times if the dog is in for vomiting and the dog has normal bowel sounds and no abdominal pain, you probably are okay. If the dog has abdominal pain or quiet bowel sounds or no bowel sounds, and your veterinarian says we should probably take an x-ray, you should probably agree with that and just look to see if there's evidence of a foreign body. And those can be a little bit tricky to see. Things like socks and underwear don't show up very well on x-ray. Metal and bone and rocks, those show up really well, but other things can sometimes be challenging to detect. So if that's happening, or so maybe your dog is older, middle-aged, and they say, well, we should probably run some blood work. The answer is, yeah, we probably should. But say it's Sunday, you're at the emergency clinic, you're like, can we just give some fluids, some Serenia, get through the rest of the weekend, and then I can go to my regular veterinary clinic on Monday. That's not a terrible thing, because if 82% of the dogs stop vomiting after one dose of Serenia, and your dog stopped vomiting after one dose of Serenia, it probably isn't a foreign body or a serious metabolic disease. So I think that frames it a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly. The only other one that I thought of that is a pretty common, and I hear people ask me this all the time, why does my dog go out in the yard and eat all the grass and then throw up?
Because they do.
That is a trained veterinary professional answer right there.
But they do. I mean, if dogs are nauseous, they frequently will go out in the yard and eat grass and then vomit immediately, simply because they ate the grass because that's what dogs do when
they wanted
nauseous.
To throw up. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I know that sounds like a pretty lousy answer, but that's sort of the reality of it.
But that's what I thought. And I just was going to confirm that.
Yeah. And we talked on the diarrhea show that I see a lot of dogs that start vomiting after Imodium. So I'm not a fan of that. I am a fan of Pepcid AC. You can buy that over the counter. And that's not a bad thing to give the dog. And if, you know, if they can keep it down, great. But if they don't, if they're continuing to vomit, this is when you need to see your veterinarian. You don't want to let these things go too long. Right. The dogs dehydrate. Right. They get sick pretty fast. And you just simply don't want that kind of thing to happen. Worms, definitely worms are a reason that dogs will vomit. So there's a jillion things that can happen. And I wish it were easy, but it isn't always easy.
You know, sometimes trying to help people know, right? Is this a crisis or is this not a crisis? And I think that's kind of what we're trying to give them a handle on.
Right. So if the dog vomits once and there's one speck of blood in it, you do not need to lose your mind. If your dog is repeatedly vomiting, or there is excessive amounts of blood in it, or the dog has it associated with diarrhea, some of those things are definitely items that are enough to trigger you to say, I think we should go in and take care of it. I hope that kind of helps people to know like what to decide and, you know, what to do. But, you know, in all seriousness, you are responsible for your dog's destiny. So use a crate when you can't keep an eye on them. Put the garbage away where the dog can't get it. You know those really cool garbage cans that have a little trigger that has a motion sensor so you don't have to try and lift the lid on it?
The dogs know how to
make it work. Yeah, the dogs like that. Oh, yeah, the dogs like those a lot. They learn really quickly how to go over there and raid those. So you have to kind of think about these things. My sister used to have a dog that would eat socks and underwear. And for Christmas one year, I bought her daughter this frog-shaped laundry basket that had a little head on it that you'd have to open and close. she was this cute little kid, and she would leave her socks and stuff where the dog could get to it. And I'd say, okay, you need to feed the frog, not the dog. And so she'd put her little socks in the frog instead of leaving them on the floor. So, you know, there's things you can do, but you have to teach your kids. You have to teach your family. Your dog is not going to learn.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to you protecting the dog and keeping them out of harm's way. And if you have a dog that you think might be a candidate for this, buy insurance, because if your dog ends up with an abdominal surgery, it easily is $8,000 to $15,000.
Yeah.
Easily. So if you have a Labrador, you have a Golden Retriever, you have some of these breeds that we know are frequent flyers and that do this kind of naughty stuff, just take out pet insurance when you pick them up from the breeder so that when they eat that first sock, it's not so terrible. The other thing about these dogs that eat stuff is, a couple of years ago, I was working on a Saturday morning, and I had a client that came in. She called and she said, I have this foster baby that I'm taking care of, and I went to the bathroom and I left the baby with the husband, and when I came back, the pacifier was missing. The dog ate the pacifier. I said, okay, come on in. We'll induce vomiting. We have apomorphine. We have Clevor. We have all these things we can do. Please don't give peroxide. Come on in. So I go down the hall, and she is in the exam room at this point, freaking out. And I walk in the room and I'm like, is everything okay? What's going on? And she said, it just passed the 1 hour mark since the dog ate the pacifier. You have to get this drug into this dog right now. And I said, I'm on my way. I'm getting the drug. Hang on a second. She said, but in an hour. I said, no, it's not like the stomach opens up 1 hour and 1 minute after the dog ate the pacifier, and it's going to go bloop into the intestinal tract. She's like, ah. So I give the injection, and we have this thing at our clinic that we send them into our garage because I can see no matter what time of the day, it's lit. It's not dark. It's not in the grass. I can see what's coming up. It's easy to clean up. And we always have to go through it because you need to know what was in there. Did what you think the dog ate come up with the medication to make the dog vomit? And so she goes out in the garage, and the dog vomits up the pacifier and two black socks. And she said, I had no idea that the dog had eaten the socks. We know he eats socks. I didn't know we were missing two black socks. Well, he ate a pair. So you wouldn't notice a pair missing. If they eat one, you notice, right? Because you can't find the other one. But she didn't realize that he'd eaten a pair. And she said, those probably were down there like 2 weeks. I said, yes, because the stomach doesn't open up, bloop, at 1 hour, and things fall out of the stomach and go into the intestines. And she's like, I'm really sorry that I freaked out. I didn't really understand this. So you have some time to get into the veterinary clinic. If it happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, wait till your clinic opens. Hopefully they have apomorphine or Clevor or something that you can give. By the way, Clevor doesn't work on cats. We don't really understand why, but it works really great on dogs and works miserably on cats. So it's hard to find something that makes a cat vomit that isn't a hairball or a dead mouse. But you know, again, another story. But anyway, if you have these things happen, don't feed spinach if it shouldn't come through. Do go to your veterinary clinic. And even if you think the dog ate something, it's better to make them vomit and find out they didn't than it is to have it the other way around. I had one client that came in while I was traveling, and she brought in five of her own dogs, and they kept going down the line, making them vomit until they found the dog that ate the sock, because she thought she knew which one it was. But they're all like, I won me.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Like in a row, vomiting on I would like to call in to work sick that day. Thank you.
Well, we've had this happen before when there's more than one dog in the household and you're not sure who the culprit is. We had one client that brought two of her dogs and she had to go home and get the third one because it turned out the first two weren't the bad ones. So the poor dogs that didn't commit the crime were the ones that were paying for the punishment. So I have way too much experience with how dogs do stuff.
Yes.
And to my family's credit, we have never had a dog that had a foreign body surgery. So just be aware that it is a possibility to live with dogs and not end up with that. But remember that little box on your countertop that has a button on it and little buttons to push.
Yes,
that is a fruit vault. That is not for defrosting meat. That is where you keep your butter, your bread.
You can defrost the meat while the butter is outside of it. But other than that.
But don't leave the room. I had one client whose dog ate the fish fillets that were thawing on the countertop. And she was so mad that she made the dog vomit. I'm like, the fish wasn't going to hurt the dog. She said, I know, but I was just really angry that the dog ate them. And they came up whole. I said, well, there you go. The dog didn't even take time to chew them. I said, did you just rinse them off and bread them and cook them up? And she's like, no.
No.
Well, you know, they were clean.
I'm going to go with no on that. Okay. You're getting me right here again.
You can wash fish. It's all fine. Fish is from the water.
No.
It's good.
No. Okay. On that note, people, it is clearly time for Marty to go to bed and get a dinner.
I haven't even had dinner. I'm just going to say that you and I know that you can't make this stuff up.
No.
These are true stories that have happened.
And I mean, this is only hour one. We could do this until midnight without even trying.
Let's not.
Not even trying. Okay. Well, my gag reflex is fully triggered and I'm going to peace out. So thank you, Marty, as always. Listeners, I know it's true. Don't worry. Next week will be yet another bodily function that we can think of to tell you about.
And there are plenty.
There's more. There is more. All right. Good night, Marty.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.